Joyce, before I light our chalice, let me note that though many of us are deep in denial, we must admit that you will indeed soon leave us to go be with family on the West Coast. We will all miss you, but we will never forget you. Helping this congregation during the last year in the vital area of social justice you serve in has helped keep alive and vital something that is essential for this congregation and its future. Your patience, your kindness, your skill as a teacher, and your openness to all perspectives, even as you persistently, though gently, nudge us closer to a deeper awareness, in large and small ways, is deeply appreciated by me and by many. You have helped lay a foundation which we will most certainly build upon. Thank you. And further words of tribute will follow later. I turn now to our chalice lighting, and I share with you as we do so a Navajo prayer. As I walk, the universe is walking with me. In beauty, it walks before me. In beauty, it walks behind me. In beauty, it walks below me. In beauty, it walks above me. Beauty is on every side. And as we continue to begin our service, I share with you some well-known words, a poem from Mary Oliver, who seemed to have a keen sense of humanity's connection with the earth and how that helps us interpret our lives. It's entitled Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes and over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. I want to thank you, Pam, for that beautiful story. And to the rapper we just listened to, for that powerful message. In August 2018, at the tender age of 15, Greta Thunberg started spending her school days alone outside the Swedish parliament to call for more decisive action on climate change. And she merely held up a sign, "School Strike for Climate." How humble a beginning. Word of her courage in speaking truth spread. And in a speech made during the plenary session of the 2018 United Nations Climate Change Conference, she told world leaders present that, quote, they were not yet mature enough to tell it like it is. 15 years old. In January of 2019, she spoke before the World Economic Forum at Davos, Switzerland, and standing before the rich and powerful, the leaders of the world, this 15-year-old girl said, our houses are on fire. And then she went on to say to the assembled people, we understand that the world is a complex place, and that change doesn't happen overnight. But now you've had more than three decades of blah, blah, blah. How many more years do you need? Like a prophet of old, she spoke the unvarnished truth with no effort to charm or sweeten her words or beguile with half-truths or evasions. She spoke like a voice in the wilderness. She seemed extraordinarily alone. She was very quickly ridiculed. But she represented something that will not be suppressed. It is the voice of the young. It is the voice of the future. It is the voice of the sane. It is the voice of those who can see clearly. And it represents a rising chorus of voices. There is hope about climate change. And I would like to share with you this morning 10 major reasons why there are 10 reasons for being hopeful. Number one, our country has re-entered the Paris Agreement. As of February 2021, 191 member countries are parties to this agreement, which is the only worldwide global effort to address climate change at every level of government. Number two, the current administration is creating a tsunami of actions directed at climate change. For example, by creating a $2 trillion American jobs plan that puts climate change at the center and is tied to the job creation in the area of clean energy and building modern and sustainable infrastructure. By transforming also the country's mix of energy through regulation and executive orders. For example, the current administration is moving to install 30,000 of powerful offshore wind power installations by 2030. At the same time, it will create 77,000 jobs. By hosting and calling out leaders from all over the world to a virtual climate summit on April the 22nd, this administration is also addressing climate change. By the appointment of climate warriors to the State Department, the EPA, the Interior Department, and other top posts. In these and many other ways, there is a tsunami of significant change about to overtake our country. Number three, there is a rapidly building association of economic thriving with addressing the climate crisis. This is so incredibly important because simply appealing to people's moral sense to act right on climate change will not cut the mustard. It is necessary for there to be substantial economic power behind the changes to address climate change. And this is happening. John Kerry has said, I believe that the economics of this are going to take over. And that if we do our work correctly in the next few years with the rest of the world, no individual politician or no individual political group will be able to stand in the way of what we're trying to do, because it is tied to economic interest. Number four, 50 nations have signed on to a 30 energy is the cheapest. The cost of producing offshore wind power has come down by 2/3 over the last 8 years and is still headed down. Solar power is the cheapest electricity in history right now. And the U.S. Department of Energy aims to cut costs 60% further by 2030. Number six, the growing number and quality of electric transportation choices. General Motors has announced that it will only produce electric cars at the beginning of 2025. Federal policies will accelerate the development of the electric car industry. Number seven, the global movement towards a plant-based diet. We know that avoiding conventional meat and dairy products is the single biggest way to reduce the environmental impact on the planet and at the same time improves human health. Hopefully, by the end of this month, the fellowship can commit itself as a collective and as individuals to a plant-based diet. Our own Eric Townsend is an expert in this subject. Number eight, some of the most wealthy people in our society are pledging to spend billions of dollars on energy research and development. These include Bill and Melinda Gates, Elon Musk, Michael Bloomberg, Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, and others. Number nine, overwhelming majorities in the seven most developed countries in the world support climate change, overwhelming majorities. And number 10, there is substantial institutional, corporate, and local government support for climate action. 53 companies across 18 industries and 12 countries have committed to working toward a net zero carbon in their worldwide businesses 10 years earlier than the deadlines of the Paris climate requests. 17 governors in the US belong to the Climate Alliance, including North Carolina's own governor, thereby committing to reduce carbon emissions in their cities and states significantly. Over 1,000 mayors have joined the U.S. Conference of Mayors Climate Protection Agreement since 2005. Both Winston-Salem and Forsyth County have passed 100% clean, renewable energy and green job resolutions. All of these things represent a substantial tide of action, not just merely based on moral persuasion or good intentions, but based on powerful resources that will actually change the shape of our economy and move us as a society towards a world of more renewable energy. So when we act, as act we must, we are part of a rising tide of people who are acting in a similar way. Let us never forget what one group of people can do if they put their mind to it, or even what one person can do, as Greta's example showed. And as the rapper said, The problem is not the environment. The problem is us. And if we made the problem, we can solve the problem. I hope you will join me. And next week, we will explore what we specifically as individuals and as a congregation can do together to address this great issue. Following up with Joyce, I do want to encourage each of you, even if you harbor some reservations and some skepticism about this subject, to venture into one of the chat rooms after the service. These intimate dialogues are so important to the work we are trying to do and the ECHO Solutions Committee is trying to do. The words for extinguishing the chalice and benediction I share with you now, which come from a Hawaiian prayer. Let us give thanks for the world around us. Thanks for all the creatures, stones, and plants. Let us learn their lessons and seek their truths so that their path might be ours and we might live in harmony a better life. May the earth continue to live. May the heavens above continue to live. May the rains continue to dampen the land. May the wet forests continue to grow. Then the flowers shall bloom, and we people shall flourish again. Amen.